Well, welcome to another episode of Propagandos. It is Monday, July 8th. We're recording later than usual because of some unsuspecting circumstances. Look, the weather's being controlled, folks. Like, these are goblins that are pulling levers, making sure that Gulf Coast podcast can never really record on time.
Yeah, that's right. They're shutting down free speech. Connor got hit with, I guess, the tail end of a hurricane
It went right over us, man. Hurricane Beryl has barreled through Houston, and we have branches all over. Luckily, we still have our power. Our Wi-Fi seems to be a little spotty, so we're recording on Zoom. Apologies if our audio sounds different, but if it sounds better than normal, then no, I rescind my apology. Alec, I don't know if you have to deal with this when there are hurricanes. I don't know if you have to deal with this in Lake Charles at all, but being in the city, we have a lot of like college kids who don't really know how to handle hurricanes. And so they all took their trash out last night. And of course, it's like all over.
It's just blown everywhere.
Yeah. So I had to walk down with a rake and like pull trash out of the drain and stuff to make sure that the flooding went down.
Baby diapers floating down the road. Mostly the smart people, which I was not included in because I stayed for a fucking category 5, which was very stupid in retrospect. Everybody gets the fuck out of town, which is basically what you're supposed to do. No, I don't do that because I wanted to see what it was like. But my wife has made very clear recently that we're not going to stay for another one if another one hits. So
Yeah.
I guess I'll come stay with Connor. We can record in person.
Well, third time's the charm. Maybe we can actually pull it off. We've tried and failed before to do in-person records. It might be something where like we set up in my room, everything's ready to go, and then like we die from carbon monoxide poisoning or something. Like I accidentally
we have two failed records, right? Yeah, when you came here and when I went over there, and we both had basically family emergencies.
See, if we were single men, we could dedicate all of our time to the pod. Have you heard of Jordan Peterson? Let me just say, I think we can really dedicate our lives to this podcast thing.
There's some rules that we need to start following if we want to be. Yeah, we started podcasting too late, you know. Guys in their early 20s don't have shit to talk about, and then I guess guys in their 30s have shit going on in their life.
Where you're just like talking to your baby, like, shut up, I'm recording.
Shut up. I'm recording a podcast about Alex Jones.
I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I'm a human, and I'm coming. I'm animated. I'm alive. My heart's big. It's got hot blood going through it fast.
That's right, Alec. We are talking about Alex Jones, notorious Texas crank and probably in the top 5 of America's like biggest villains right now. I don't know. We have a lot, but he's pretty high up there right now.
He's a Gulf Coast legend, man. Austin born and bred. Or is he from Denton? No, he's from like the Austin area, right?
I believe he's from the Austin area. You know, for those who don't know a little bit about Alex Jones, he started InfoWar, you know, he basically started on Public Access in Austin, Texas, and he was just a Art Bell style conspiracy theory guy, relatively harmless. Started talking about the Bilderberg group, as we'll discuss later on. And then eventually he started attacking the common man, and he rightfully got punished for it.
I mean, give me a break. You think I am like shocked by it, so I'm up here bashing it because I don't like gay people? I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay. Do you understand that? Serious crap. I'm sick of being social engineered. It's not funny.
We were on a road trip recently with my wife with the baby, and we're coming back and she's listening to a podcast, surprise, surprise, and they're talking about Alex Jones. And she's like, do you know who this is? And I'm like, baby, do I know who this is? For me, growing up, probably during my college days and after, he was still one of these like crank guys on the internet now. He had an internet show, but he was still like, I guess, relatively harmless, I'd say, right? Like, he wasn't what he became for sure. And like clips of Alex Jones, him like ranting or like going off or saying something like crazy or stupid, they got clipped and kind of passed around the internet in the ways that, you know, things were back then in like the early Obama administration, right? He was just this like figurehead, this weird, like annoying crank guy, kind of connected to, if you're an American listener, you know, you guys might remember, monumental, enormous sea changes of opinion that you might have had from watching something like Loose Change, right? Alex Jones was, I believe, a writer. He was certainly a producer. I think he might have also been a writer on Loose Change.
Or and then movies like Zeitgeist as well.
Yes, Zeitgeist, right. Like, those were big when I was in college. They'd come out a little bit earlier, but they were just now like hitting a Midwestern, either Catholic guys or, I don't know, like Lutherans from Minnesota, right? We're watching Zeitgeist for the first time and we're like, you know, what the fuck? Zoroastrianism sounds like this other ancient religion that, you know, was living like right next door to it. Dude, like, it's all a lie, bro. It was the first time I heard that 9/11 was an inside job, right? It was Loose Change. Everybody's talking about Building 7 and it had just like begun to be like metabolized by, I'd say, like, not strictly crank audiences, right? Like, it was kind of permeating down to like at least youth culture, right?
So my brother was serving in Afghanistan, I believe, when Loose Change and Zeitgeist came out. And I believe this was in Zeitgeist 2. There's Zeitgeist is a trilogy of films. And I think in Zeitgeist 2, my brother would send me these movies like, hey, man, you need to check this out. You're being lied to. It's like, my oldest brother is trying to give me some wisdom. Let me see what this is. And I think I watched about 30 seconds of it. And in that 30-second clip, they said, once upon a time, we used to worship the sun god, and now we worship the son of God. Like, nah, I don't
damn,
think they all,
dude.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't think they all spoke English back then. I think maybe they had different words for that. But yeah, I was young enough where it could have been impressionable, but thank God I was smart enough to be like, this is all bullshit.
Yeah, it just sounds, I mean, Zeitgeist just sounds like, doesn't pass the sniff test. It just sounds fucking dumb. I was talking to somebody else and I was trying to remember. So I was like, Zeitgeist definitely had, Loose Change was the strictly 9/11 one.
Right.
Zeitgeist had a bunch of Christian stuff. And then I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure Zeitgeist also talked about 9/11. And we looked it up, and sure enough, it does talk about 9/11.
Of course.
So it's just like, and you'll see this in the Alex Jones documentary that we talk about. It's that like disjointed conspiracy theory stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's your uncle, right? And he's going, and another thing, and another thing. And you're like, are these things related, or is this all just kind of floating around in your brain?
I remember growing up, you know, when you're checking out at the grocery store, they've got those tiny magazines that are very sensationalist at the cash register. One of them said, Nostradamus predicted 9/11.
Yeah.
And I just finished that book that I was telling you about, the Ghost Wars by Steve Cole. Mm-hmm. And boy, let me tell you, Bush didn't do 9/11. If anyone, it was Clinton's incompetence. So we're already pinning the blame on the wrong fucking president when it comes to that kind of shit.
And I'll say, by the way, like, I'm open to all kinds of conspiracy theories. I don't know if I don't particularly have an opinion on 9/11. I think some of it was pretty weird. I'm not going to contradict Connor, but I'm also not going to affirm that Bush didn't do 9/11. I'm not going to look into it anymore. I already have enough fucking brain worms. I don't need another thing talk about at parties, right?
But we're not here to talk about 9/11 conspiracies.
Not yet.
Not yet. That's a future episode. When we've been doing this long enough and like our partners have left us because we become crazy.
When we start investigating 9/11.
Yeah. Right? Which is something, when prepping for this episode, I was a little worried of like, am I going to lose my mind if I keep doing this podcast? And, you know, I have to palate cleanse a little bit after what we watch. But Alec, what we watched today for this episode is two documentaries. One produced by Alex Jones and one about Alex Jones.
Yeah.
First, we watched Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, the 2007 documentary where Alex Jones talks about the Bilderberg Group and their decades-long plan to implement population control and enslave everyone.
We should say the Bilderberg Group, among many other things.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's quite meandering.
So many topics in the fucking movie.
Yeah. And then we wrapped it up with a palate cleanser, The Truth versus Alex Jones, which is on HBO right now. I don't recommend Endgame. I highly recommend The Truth versus Alex Jones.
Yeah. Connor and I were on the phone after we both got done watching Endgame, and he recommended that I watch The Truth versus Alex Jones. He's like, you know, you probably should at least take like a hard look at who Alex Jones is now. I mean, I was aware of the defamation cases. I'm aware of like the Sandy Hook stuff. But yeah, it's I think it's important to watch that after you especially see early Alex Jones and you kind of get in that mindset of, oh, this is like a goofball crank. Right. This is a guy that like you can laugh at and you can almost kind of laugh with. Right. I mean, the problem with a lot of conspiracy theory, especially if you're kind of on the left, like Connor and me, is at a baseline, I probably agree with a lot of what Alex Jones says about like the world. Right. Like, I don't think the Bilderberg Group does exist. Right. It is a bunch of like international bankers meeting to discuss global policy. I don't know how they affect politics, but they seem to think it's important enough to meet. A bunch of ex-presidents have gone to the Bilderberg. They seem evil in a way that I don't like, right?
Yeah.
But is it, like, connected to the Rosicrucian, you know, like, affair? I don't think so, right? Like, are they single-handedly controlling the world and also, like, inventing and or causing climate change and or trying to take your guns? Like, I don't think so, right?
Yeah, the Bilderbergs aren't sitting around and saying, like, the golden calf was yesterday's idol. Today it is Funko Pops.
Yeah.
Like that's not what they're doing.
Who are we supposed to be worshiping? Is it Moloch or Baal? Or I remember like all these names of ancient demons that were supposed to be.
I don't know, man. I worship the almighty dollar.
There you go.
I don't know.
You're a real Bilderberger. I think it's important to like highlight kind of and remember what Alex Jones became and why it's shitty that he, you know, is the guy that he is.
I think it's really funny the idea of somebody watching this documentary without like subtitles on and they're like kind of mishearing it and they go to the mall with a gun and a Build-A-Bear store. Like, the Build-A-Bears are coming.
The Build-A-Bears, the Build-A-Bear workshop, folks. It's meeting in Ottawa.
I shouldn't laugh at the idea of someone a Build-A-Bear store, but they go to protest the Build-A-Bear store.
There you go. We can bleep it to protest. It's not a terror attack. I'm just protesting with a gun.
Okay? Yeah, it's an armed protest at the Build-A-Bear, the Build-A-Bear group.
The Build-A-Bear. The board of directors of the Build-A-Bear group is meeting here in Ottawa today. We're here to get answers, folks.
So, Alec, that line that you just said right there, that impression of Alex Jones, that's kind of the entirety of this film. It's a 2-hour film where most of it is just him standing outside a hotel with a megaphone being like, "You're evil. The answer to 1984 is 1776.
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
You know what? I don't know if I knew that or if I'm like remembering now. It's really nice to remember that he's had that line for like 20 years now. He's been doing that bit for like 2 decades, right?
Yeah, that is his bread and butter.
So when he's like, we'll get to it, but when he's standing in the parking lot of that hotel and he's going, 1776, and it's like, okay, well, I guess that hasn't changed, right? You're true to your form in that way.
So I guess we should talk a little bit about what the thesis of the film is. Which is that the Bilderbergs and the Rothschilds have been conspiring for decades.
Centuries,
to essentially build a world government that will then implement population control policies that will decimate the world population to below 500 million, at which point we will finally have enough people, like the right amount of people, that we can enslave. Which already made no sense to me of like,
sure.
Well, wouldn't you want more slaves? Like, why would you kill everyone?
I was going to like put my finger up and say like, well, I think, yeah, sure. It's so disjointed, right? Like a lot of this conspiracy shit is of this caliber. It's so disjointed that's as good of a description as you're going to fucking get, right? Like, the Bilderbergs are doing something evil at these fucking hotel meetings. That evil thing might be that they're planning to kill, you know, 80-90% of the population. It varies, right? To do something else evil, right? As if that wasn't enough, it's going to be way more evil after they do that. This is like the period of, I would say, like early Alex Jones. I mean, this is long after he's not on public access television in Austin, right? But this is him in like his mid-career peak, right? Certainly not the peak of his like earnings, certainly not the peak of his like public relevance, but he's out of the public access world. He's out of basically, you know, man screams on street territory, and he's up to, you know, man has film crew and flies to another country to scream on their streets. Right. For a particular reason, not just because. Right.
Yeah.
And he's making a fucking documentary. Right. This looks and feels like a movie that you could watch. Right. It is a real documentary. And he's, at least for the first half of the film, he goes to Ottawa and attempts to confront the Bilderbergs and does some interviews with some other crank guys, basically, about the Bilderbergs and the New World Order and, you know, all that. So just to add an addendum to Connor's explanation of what the film is about, what is the conspiracy theory here that we're explaining and, like, pushing? The Bilderbergs are in control of, like, basically all the American presidents, maybe. The EU is an extension of New World Order. It's like a phrase you're going to hear a lot, right? Because that's like maybe one of the core theses here. The end game is of the New World Order. And the New World Order is some kind of conspiracy that's going to take control of the world more so than it does now and destroy America and or Europe.
If I remember correctly, New World Order with the phrase that George H.W. Bush bandied about after the fall of the Soviet Union, correct?
Yeah, I mean, New World Order as a phrase, whether like mistranslated or not, has been used a bunch of times. And Alex Jones goes out of his way to showcase all those, right? Like Hitler may have said something in German that roughly translates to New World Order. They show old video of Smedley Butler talking about like the business plot in.
Yeah. Alex Jones calls Smedley Butler a patriot for coming out against the business plot. Like, it's really odd. No matter what you think about Alex Jones now, there was a point in time when he was just like vehemently anti-fascist, vehemently like anti-corporate influence.
At the very least, anti-Nazi. Right? He doesn't like Nazis. And Nazis are a symbol of anti-Americanism, right? And anti-freedom. And he doesn't like Nazis. He's a good libertarian in that he seemingly hates all authoritarians equally. Unfortunately, that means that he looks at all authoritarian regimes or structures or ideology and says, these are all part of the same conspiracy and they're actually just facets of like a ruling class ideology, right? Like communism of the Leninist variety and Hitlerianism or, you know, monarchism are all the same thing. And it's like, well, I don't know about that, right?
What I loved about this is he basically starts this history. And I mean, he does talk about like previous empires had attempted this in the past. But his history for Endgame starts when Napoleon is defeated at Waterloo.
Yeah, the Waterloo, yeah. Which is the actual like conspiracy theory about the Rothschilds.
Yeah.
What is it, tanking? I don't even think it's true. I've looked this one up before and it doesn't seem true.
Somebody in the Rothschild family was just like hanging out at Waterloo and the battle is going down. He sees Napoleon defeated. He runs and tells the press, they're like, Napoleon won. Britain's going to go under. So that tanks the markets of England and he buys. And when it comes out that Napoleon actually was defeated, the prices goes up and thus begins the fortune of the Rothschild.
And he owns all of the stocks or whatever, right? This apparently is not even true. But what is true, right? Like there's always a kernel, right? Apparently the angle that Rothschilds and other rich people playing the markets in London did have spies within the military or at least like followed around armies and then had advanced knowledge of the defeat or at least knowledge before it was officially announced. That apparently is true, right? So where you go with that kind of information is determined by, I think, right, like some part of your like internal ideology, right? Like you say like, well, bankers and speculators and capitalists broadly, especially finance capitalists, seem to have their own network of like information and news gathering that's not, you know, in the public interest or part of like the public record. And whatever you do with that information is then determined by your like personal ideology. And for Alex Jones, as a guy who grows up in Texas, it's tied to basically being a Texan, right? And the kind of libertarianism that you get growing up in Texas in the 80s. So the UN's part of the Bilderberg operation. The EU is structurally like a Bilderberg op. Of course, the fucking Federal Reserve is controlled or influenced by the Bilderbergs on some level, right? Like,
yep.
It goes on and on. Basically, anybody that's in power that... But critically, that does stuff that libertarians don't like, right, is part of, like, the great conspiracy.
Yeah. Okay, so a character that's prominently featured in this documentary is basically Alex Jones looking into a like time portal to see himself as an old man. And it's this guy named Jim Tucker, who is a journalist that focuses solely on the Bilderberg Group.
Veteran newspaper reporter Jim Tucker has been covering the Bilderberg meetings for over 30 years and has physically attended more than 20.
First heard about Bilderberg in 1975, and I said, I don't believe it. That's not possible. Who in hell's Bilderberg? Approximately 100 leaders of international finance, heads of state, high public officials were meeting behind armed guards and closed doors on Jekyll Island, sealed off.
He apparently has someone on the inside who gets him a list of attendees for every single year, which they do show in the documentary, so maybe this is true. However, Jim Tucker has also gotten like a lot of things wrong. He once said that the Bilderbergs grew tired of Margaret Thatcher and replaced her after she attended one meeting, but she went to like several meetings. So I don't think it's necessarily the Bilderbergs being like, you're no longer in charge of the Tories.
I think they would fucking love her. She's like a bank deregulator.
Yeah. Yeah. So Jim Tucker, every time you see him, he's either got a cigarette in his mouth or he's at the bar surrounded by empty alcohol bottles.
Yeah, there's that shot. I was telling God, there's that shot where Jim Tucker's just talking and he's like, he's old, right? So maybe he's doing Joe Biden, right? So he's like slurring a little bit. But then there's a camera shot of him and he's at a bar. It's like 11 a.m. and he's like drinking some clear liquid out of a rocks glass. And then It pans over the bar and there's just all these bottles and like glasses and shit. And you're like, oh yeah, these guys are just getting sauced. Right?
There's a couple of really great shots where Jim Tucker just like keeps talking and you can see Alex Jones just like looking at the camera, like kind of darting around like, that makes sense. Like, even he's just like, God, this guy is a crank.
Yeah.
Since then, I've never stopped pursuing Bilderberg or the whole international gangster organization led by Rockefellers and Rothschilds as they manipulate the world for their own selfish interest.
Of him just like on a park bench chain smoking and like just has documents everywhere.
Indiana Jones hat, suspenders on, like holding tons of papers. He looks like a mess. And at one point, of course, he talks about how, you know, he's almost been arrested several times by Bilderberg bodyguard and stuff like that. And at one point they're driving away and Jim just goes, yep, see that car right there? They're tailing us. And it's like, I don't think they are. It's like a total jalopy behind them. Like, I don't think that guy's tailing you, dude.
They might be. Who knows? Yeah. I mean, he is apparently a serial harasser of like some of the richest people in the world. Yeah. So maybe.
This guy strikes me as the kind of guy who thinks that like anyone behind him in an Arby's drive-thru is tailing him. So yeah. Like I'm a little skeptical of this guy.
Like, speaking of which, right, like he's what Alex Jones would have become if Alex Jones had stayed where he was.
Yes.
Maybe even before this movie airs, right? Before Endgame is published. If he had devoted his life to, you know, publishing and mailing crank magazines, basically, or like blogging on the internet, right? Like posting to World Daily News or whatever, right? Or some other like ultra right wing crank site. That's what Alex Jones would have been. He would have ended up like Tucker.
Yep.
Not Tucker Carlson.
Yeah, just Jim Tucker.
But he doesn't, right? And that's what we're going to get to later.
One thing that's very interesting about the way the information in this movie is presented, it's very similar to like your Adam Curtis documentary with a lot of B-roll, right? And some of the B-roll includes articles about Alex Jones outside the Bilderberg Group. And he does this, the reason why he does this is to give the audience the impression that like, this is real, the media paid attention to it, and you still haven't heard about it. Why not? And so I looked up one of the articles where the picture is Alex Jones with a megaphone, and it's written by a person named Shannon Proudfoot, who I looked up, and at the time that this was published, this article featured in the documentary, she was an intern for the Ottawa Citizen. So Alex Jones uses this article, this news clipping, to show, like, I'm a big deal. In reality, the Ottawa Citizen's like, hey, intern, go cover this guy who's, like, screaming outside our fucking building.
Yeah, it's like a local, like, page 8 story, right? Like, local crank screams at hotel.
It's right next to the crossword.
Yeah. I mean, that's true of, like, so much of the film and of crank films in general, right? Where you'll often see what looks like a flash of a news article, right? But if you look it up, it is a crank blog post from a place like World Daily News, right? Like, that's the one, especially one that's now purged all of their records of all of these old articles. So, like, you can't even find them anymore, right? Like, you see an author, you see a date, you see maybe even, like, the website if you, like, zoom in, and then you find out what the website is, and you're like, oh, this is fucking worthless, right? Like, I don't know. But there is a juxtaposition between this, like, what seems to be honest journalism of a crank variety, right? Like, the list of all the Bilderberg people. I would like to know who the fuck goes to these meetings, right? Like, at one point, they say, you know, all the past presidents, three or four presidents, right, have all been to Bilderberg meetings. And I'm like, wait, is that fucking true? And you look it up, and it seems to be fucking true. And then they're saying, you know, back when, in what, 2008, when Rick Perry was vetted for that presidential race, he went to a Bilderberg meeting. And then they've got a picture of his name on the list. And then they have a statement of him that publicly declares that he did do it. And it's like, that is actually newsworthy, right? Like, who the Bilderbergs are and what they want is, you know, Alex Jones's prerogative. And to be honest, I don't find it that convincing, right? But the fact that they exist and the fact that, you know, some of this shit is true is pretty eye-catching, right, at least.
Now, we want to get into all the conspiracy theories that are presented in this documentary real quick, but you mentioned Rick Perry, and I think this is a great way for us to segue into that, because Rick Perry is mentioned as a member of this Bilderberg, or an attendee of this Bilderberg meeting, but he's also mentioned in a much more controversial, nefarious light as one of the people behind what was once known as the Trans-Texas Corridor. What the Trans-Texas Corridor was basically some Texas politicians and a company in Spain were trying to build a system of freeways, basically, that would, like, get you anywhere in the state. It was just, like, a super highway, essentially.
Not just the state. The super corridors were, like, I think a late Clinton era. It's, like, a very 90s idea that, like, lasted way too long, right? The idea that, you know, the fucking interstate highway system built in the 50s isn't enough anymore, and we're not stopping driving cars, right? So what we need are way fucking bigger highways. Also, probably somebody took a look at not only, like, the car infrastructure, but the fucking power grid of the United States, or maybe, like, the telecom grid, and said, this is just a fucked up patchwork of different private systems. What if we could combine all of these things into what they, you know, somebody dubbed super corridors, which are going to be like an enormous highway plus maybe high speed rail plus high lines or like high voltage power transmission and telecom. What if we could rope all of these into a new kind of 21st century infrastructure plan? And this seems to have gotten enough purchase in the Bush administration because of national security, right? You could easily slap a national security sticker, right, on this kind of shit because, you know, the interstates to begin with, as Alex Jones points out correctly, right, were meant for military mobilization. This probably got a little bit too much oxygen and died a little bit too late. So one of the things that he goes into in the film is, you know, local to him specifically, right? Texas crank shit. The state is maybe going to use eminent domain to build a super highway from what, Brownsville to Dallas or some shit. Mm-hmm. I don't know, from San Antonio to Dallas or something like this. And it's one of these examples of very specific type crank shit where Alex Jones then takes a bunch of video and interviews a bunch of like cowboy hat guys either at the local courthouse or somewhere in Austin, just like yelling about how they're not going to be recolonized by Spain, right?
Yeah.
Oh, because the company that wins the bid maybe to make this is a Spanish company. That's the Spain connection.
Yeah. And there's a very funny clip of like all these citizens, I guess, speaking at a public hearing for TxDOT, which Alex Jones does call a tyrannical organization.
Yeah, the Texas DOT.
Yeah, but so the woman there says, I, for one, would not like to give our state back to Spain, which gets a big laugh. It made me laugh. It got a big laugh from the crowd. And then there's a shot of all the, like, TxDOT administrators who are just, like, so sick of it.
Just stone-faced. And then whatever this fucking public hearing is where they're getting yelled at. I mean, like, Connor and I can attest, this is pure Texas crank shit. Yes. This is, like, your... And I mean, I guess nowadays this is your city council meeting or, you know, the parent teacher conference or whatever.
Like, yeah. There's a good chance that the woman who said that could have easily have been a Trump supporter or a Bernie Sanders supporter.
And in a way, it's kind of like for a Texan or an ex-Texan in my like, it's a little bit heartwarming, right? Like, I know those kinds of people. I kind of even like them, right? Like,
yeah. Yeah. I've sat across from these people many, many times. I'll say one last thing about this before we get into the list of conspiracies. While the Trans-Texas Corridor did go away, it failed, it did not come to fruition, that sentiment is still here. And if you listen to our episode about the Texas Republican Party platform, you'll know that the Texas Republican Party is banning any and all efforts to build a high-speed rail in the state. Abbott seems to be pro high-speed rail, and still the people... the population of Texas is still very against any and all like mass transit movement.
And specifically exactly the thing that got Alex Jones on this shit, right? Which is the use of eminent domain. The fact that the government can say, hey, look, we need this land to do fucking something with. You got to sell it to us, right? Especially if they're like holdouts and they don't want to fucking do it. Your fucking ranch land, we're going to turn part of it into a highway because society needs a fucking highway, right? Yeah. We don't like eminent domain here, and it, in fact, is part of the Bilderberg European-style global conspiracy to destroy Texas, right? Like, that's where we start, and that's where that reasoning gets you.
Oh, my God.
Anybody trying to build a highway, I mean, eventually this will become their baby eaters, right? Like, they're eating children, folks. They're devouring children.
You're just really laying it out on the line of, like, I wish we had seen this before we did a Texas Republican Party episode, because that's why we have planks in that platform of, like, we need to ban the globalists from trying to destroy Texas. And like, yeah, there's something about, I don't know why, but Texans do seem to think that the entire world is conspiring to quash out the flame of liberty that burns in the heart of every Texan.
Everybody cares about Texas. The world fucking revolves around us.
I love this state, but it's full of dumbasses.
Everything's bigger in Texas, baby.
You want to break down the list of conspiracies that are in this documentary?
So
we might miss some, but we'll do our best to capture it all.
Like I said, the Bilderberg stuff is probably the first third, probably the first half of the film, right? Including going to flying to Ottawa and standing. By the way, I don't know if we mentioned. So Alex Jones is, of course, not allowed into the hotel where the Bilderberg meeting is happening because, honest to God, like, very important or, you know, very rich and important people are showing up to this fucking hotel. So he has to stand at the back of the parking lot, basically on the sidewalk. So they're like a quarter of a mile from the fucking hotel. And in a hilarious shot, maybe we'll put a clip in right here.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're here in Canada today to stand up against the Bilderberg group that is attempting to get rid of the sovereignty of the United States.
He just has a megaphone and he's, you know, screaming about 1776 into an open parking lot a quarter of a mile from this building where this meeting's happening. It's very comedic. And it's like a perfect allegory for like the level that Alex Jones was at this time in terms of his like, you know, importance, right? His like cultural salience and his political relevance.
The truth of your world government has now been exposed. We know you are ruthless. We know you are evil. Your new world order will fall.
But anyway, so we yell at people at the Bilderberg summit. We go to a bar. We go have drinks with Mr. Jim Tucker and get sloshed and hang out on a park bench. Then he goes and interviews some people in Ottawa, asking them, some people like a public bus, to see if they know that the Bilderberg shit's happening, and he gets a lot of very funny looks.
That's a great scene.
And then we, like, probably for about 20 minutes, we're doing B-roll, and we're doing snapshots of crank blog posts and shit before we move back to Texas to talk about the super corridors. Somehow that relates. And then we start just listing off shit. Right. Like there's bits about the British royal family and the history of American support for authoritarian regimes, including Hitler and Mao Zedong. And the Bilderbergs finance every war on every side. And it's all false flags that start them. a lot about like global communism or I guess Maoist communism, because the USSR and China are used just utterly interchangeably here. That and just straight up Nazism, because you don't get to do Alex Jones stuff. Lots of pictures of Henry Kissinger, who I also dislike, so, you know, fuck that guy. A short synopsis of eugenics, Margaret Sanger mentioned here, unfortunately. So, good people taking L's, you know, Planned Parenthood, that kind of shit.
Real quick, what stood out to me when he was talking about China and like Chinese communism, Maoist communism, is he does talk about Tiananmen Square very briefly, but I think he thinks Mao Zedong is still in charge of China up to the point that he releases the documentary, because there's no mention of like Deng Xiaoping at all.
He doesn't care. He doesn't give a fuck, right? He knows Mao's there and he's got some B-roll of Mao talking into a microphone, right? And like looking around and pointing at stuff. So we're going to use that. I was surprised at how long it took him to mention the evils of communism. I thought that would come up sooner, but the second half makes up for it in leaps and bounds. There's some brief stuff. I mean, you know, So I was going to say Connor is holding up into the camera, which you guys can't see. What would you say? That's a trinket.
I have a charm that keeps me safe. And on one side it says truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. And on the other side, it says Falun Dafa is good. But this is the Falun Dafa, the Falun Gong. They gave this to my partner in the park, and she gave it to me.
Oh, I thought you got it from going to Shenyun. We still need to go to Shenyun, by the way.
Oh. Well, the thing is, it's like we can't. It's not like we can sneak a camera. They'll find us if we sneak a camera into Shenyun.
They'll execute us with a big ceremonial sword or something.
We'll eventually do something on Shenyun because I am quite a fan.
And they're big in Houston. I mean, I think they're like, they literally have just a...
Dude, you can find posters for Shenyun at the fucking dentist. They are everywhere in Houston.
So Alex Jones in the script will touch on stuff that I totally agree with, right? Which is like CIA-backed coups in a bunch of the world. But you end up on like weird sides of stuff, right? So like CIA coups in countries that Alex Jones likes, right? Bad. Or that he's neutral on, bad. Yeah, the Chinese government persecuting the Falun Gong, which is like, let's just be honest, right? Like a CIA cutout at this point, right? A weird cult that is allowed to exist in the United States, largely because it's good propaganda against the Chinese. But that's also good, right? Because that showcases the evils of communism, right? We don't have to pick and choose our battles here. Never mind if there's, quite credible conspiracy content to be gleaned from the fact that the people that you're reposting, right? The Falun Gong, for instance, and the organ harvesting narrative that features in this film is just as much, right, like good conspiracy fodder as the United States, you know, backing the Shah of Iran or whatever.
Yeah. We should also at this point mention that a lot of the articles that are shown on screen are from the Epoch Times.
Oh, yeah. Multiple mentions of the Epoch Times. I yelled out Falun Gong mentioned whenever I saw it. Yeah, so I'm just scrubbing through. So we do eugenics for a while. We go to like, you know, IBM sold computers to the Nazis. And then I would say at like in the very last half hour, which is just very grueling, I'd say, right? The first half of this movie when we're yelling in parking lots, very fun. I like watching that. I like early Alex Jones. I like a crank in public annoying rich, important people. That's just one of the things that I find fun in life. The last, half of this movie, but especially the last half hour, is just fucking grueling, right? And this is where we just go off and just basically name like everything, Tuskegee Air experiments and radioactive testing and
the Chinese one-child policy.
Yes, oh God. And we're tying everything back to eugenics and the Bilderbergers want to do this. And this is basically what's going to happen to us if we don't, I don't know, oppose super corridors in Texas. I'm not really sure what the call to action here is. But presumably there is one, right? And Alex Jones at least wants you to be aware that, you know, 80% of the global population is about to be murdered, right? Thanks for the heads up.
I don't think there is a call to action. What I know about Alex Jones is that his two big things is he calls for the answer to 1984 or 1776. So you would imagine he's trying to get you to think about violent armed uprisings and revolutions.
Yeah, and buy guns and join a militia, right?
Yeah. And yet when he's been pushed on that, he'll say like, no, I want a velvet revolution of ideas. I want a peaceful revolution. Like on the record, officially, he calls for like, we need to vote our way out of this. but they didn't vote their way out of 1776.
I know. I mean, what's highlighted here throughout is that, like, Alex Jones would oppose anything bigger than a fucking, I mean, I was going to say city council meeting, but of course he's going to oppose a city council meeting. I mean, if you had two people meeting for lunch, he'd be like, this is, you know, a criminal conspiracy, right? An oppressive criminal conspiracy from the globalists, right, to shut down our liberties.
I would love to see Alex Jones at an HOA meeting.
Like, oh, my God.
Just someone telling him, like, hey, Alex, I noticed that your hedges there are getting a little unruly and they're coming into my yard. You're a fucking globalist.
Fuck
get off my lawn. On Alex Jones's voice, what's really interesting, you've likely have seen or heard audio from his show where he is bombastic and he is yelling, and it really amplifies his voice, and it works well with his voice. In this documentary, he's trying to be somber, and it still comes across really gruff, where he's just like, this is a crisis, folks. At the Battle of Waterloo, a Rothschild saw Napoleon fall. Like, it's that kind of shit, and it's still, like, kind of too grating. Doesn't work well. He's not good at the, like...
I disagree. I think that's part of his charm, right? I will say it makes the... After about an hour, it makes the movie insufferable to watch. But I think it's part of what makes Alex Jones, like, ultimately successful is he's such a fucking character. He's such, like, a weird clown, right? The guy that talks like this all the time, folks. And we're, you know, he's just fun to imitate. He's honestly, depending on what he's saying, he's pretty fun to listen to. Right.
Yeah. My only last note about this movie is that there's a lot of talking head interviews with this World War II vet.
What's also interesting to note that the NAFTA headquarters is in Mexico and controls the United States trade and rules against the United States Congress, and no one seemed to challenge it.
And by the end, he's very clearly reading off of cue cards. Like, this guy is not genuine at all.
The World War II vet's is he the part of the highway subplot?
I
can't remember.
I think he's just, like, his snippets are used throughout the movie, where his biggest quote is like, if my boys of hell in World War II could see what this country has become, they would be crying and spinning in the graves. Like,
it's
and
elder
you can apply
abuse,
that
man.
To
it's mean.
Anything. You could apply that to a highway. You could apply that to Planned Parenthood.
Oh, that's true. It's just B-roll clips of him complaining about something, but then you just splice it in throughout the movie.
Yeah. They probably just hit record and said, like, when was the last time your grandkid called you? And then the hour that generated, they just peppered that in. My grandson won't call me because the Chinese are on the TV. Like, that kind of shit.
So Blueprint's interesting because it's a snapshot in time. It's a particular crank era. And I think what stands out to me is that, I don't know if we've mentioned yet, but, like, a lot of this Blueprint, right? Endgame, Blueprint for global for global enslavement or domination, whatever the fuck it's called. Endgame. This thesis becomes the Great Reset in, like, the next two decades. By the way, when the Texas Republican Party talks about the Great Reset, they're basically talking about what this movie's talking about. When Marjorie Taylor Greene mentions it, right? Or, for instance, I mean, a little bit more racist and, by the way, a little bit more European. Like, The Great Replacement is kind of a version of this where instead of a mass die-off, they replace all the white people with, like, African refugees or something. This is crank shit that will totally become mainstream by the time Trump is in office, right? About 10 years. And critically, this occurs, and the story that it's telling you probably can only occur in this period, right? When a Republican critically is in power, right? So Alex Jones can't really just bitch about the president, right? Which is, by the way, a thing that as you're going to see throughout the Obama administration and now into the Biden administration. They come up with their craziest shit when they can't just complain about the power that exists in the United States. And although Alex Jones has at least made statements in the past that he's not a huge fan of the war in Iraq, for instance, right? There's no criticism of George W. Bush here almost at all, right? I think he's displayed maybe a couple times as B-roll.
Yeah.
Maybe he's a Bilderberger guy too. I can't remember. But it's not overt, right?
He's much more critical of George Herbert Walker Bush. And he's got like one clip about Dick Cheney being a part, I believe, of the National Security Council.
There are a couple small indictments of people surrounding Bush. But it's not about Bush, right?
No.
Whereas, as soon as Obama gets elected, one of the next movies that Alex Jones helps write and produce is like the Obama deception about like, is Obama even a citizen of the United States? Is he a Kenyan Muslim? Is he a Manchurian candidate for China and or Marxists or black nationalists or something, right? Like, the tone of this kind of conspiracy totally shifts. And by the way, ends up being, I mean, I know it's more annoying. I know it's like more racist, right? To just question the loyalty of a president like Obama, although Obama's a shitty, he's a piece of shit anyway. I don't really care. It ends up being a lot less nefarious in a way, because as soon as Obama's out of office, the Obama deception stops mattering, right? Yeah. Endgame never stops mattering because it's a holistic, right? This thing that's not about the Democrat, the demon rats in power, is a way more holistic vision of the world. Right. And by the way, it's the exact kind of thing that ends up getting Mr. Alex Jones in trouble, in part.
Yes.
Is making his worldviews a little bit too holistic, a little bit too particular. Right.
Now, before we get to that, I do want to ask you, Alec, is this movie good propaganda?
I don't know. I mean, I was like subsumed by this kind of content a little bit later, like probably when I was in college. So like 2010 to 2012, I like became aware of this kind of stuff and I was mostly laughing at it. So like, it doesn't work on me. It's not particularly convincing. And certain stuff does date it a little bit, right? The Texas Super Corridor, I fucking forgot that that was even a thing if I ever knew that it was. You know, this being part of the grand plan to annihilate all of humanity. Well, didn't that part never even fucking got off the ground. So like, I don't know. It doesn't work on me. I don't know. What do you think?
I think it is good propaganda, and I don't say that in a sense that, like, I buy a hook, line, and sinker, folks. Like, I'm saying that, to your point, the things that are in Endgame are now in mainstream politics. These are things that are talked about on mainstream news, the talking heads, the politicians are trying to, like, inject this into the discourse, so it has staying power, at the very least. And I think it's effective in that it's so long that it feels like you're going through, like, when a cult's trying to give you, like, nutritional deficient food, so you're just, like, kind of out of it. It's so long that by the end of it, you're just, like, inundated with information that you don't really, now with the internet, you can just stop and look something up. In 2007, you just had to be like, is that true?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And Alex Jones had the habit in this movie, to your point earlier about sometimes I agree with him, because he'll say, like, two facts and then a bombastic leap that you don't really have the time to stop and check. You're like, well, he's right about that. He's right about that. He must be right about China's going to, you know, form the Asian Union and we're going to have the Trilateral Commission and then they're going to make it so I can't have any kids. That is how crazy. He said, like, remember when the EU formed? Well, remember when NAFTA was signed? Well, because of that, China's going to come for your kid. Yeah. And like, if you are dealing with that Bush-era political alienation, keep in mind the economy collapsed in 2007, leading into 2008. So if you are someone who is out of work and you've got plenty of time on your hand to watch a fucking documentary about how the rich and powerful are congregating and meeting while you are poor and you just lost your job, of course this is going to make an impact on you. So I think incredibly effective propaganda. Do I believe it? Fuck no.
We should point out, by the way, right, do our due diligence. I don't think Endgame is solely responsible for the propagation of the Great Reset, but he's certainly a brick in that wall, right? Like, he's part of that movement. And by the way, he's a voice in that movement and a very loud one. And to your point, right, like, this is a blueprint for global enslavement. This is a blueprint of Alex Jones's, like, core beliefs, right? Because This thesis you will hear over and over and over if you watch Alex Jones's stuff. I mean, I would say almost to this day, he's been neutered pretty hard. I watched some recent Alex Jones broadcasts, and he ain't what he used to be, folks. He's quite a bit more curtailed in his kind of speech and his presentation.
Yeah, there's something going on with him right now that is making him a little limited, which we are about to get into.
Official story of Sandy Hook has more holes in it than Swiss cheese.
For years, he's been a megaphone for far-right conspiracy theories.
Sandy Hook is a synthetic, completely fake, with actors, in my view, manufactured.
He claimed one of America's worst school shootings, Sandy Hook, 10 years ago, was a hoax, that the parents of the 20 children killed were actors.
So we both watched Endgame. I was talking to Connor on the phone, and he said, We were laughing about it, and he said, you know what? We should probably sober up and be serious for a minute. You should watch the HBO documentary about Alex Jones and the parents of the victims of Sandy Hook. I'm laughing, but it's because it's so fucking terrible. I mean, it's a really horrible thing. So, I mean,
this is like 5 years after Endgame comes out. And Sandy Hook is, I believe to this day, if not Stoneman Douglas, I believe Sandy Hook is still the most violent.
Second highest.
Fuck. Is it Uvalde? So
for death count, Sandy Hook is the second most deadly shooting after Virginia Tech.
I'm just kind of reeling from the fact that, like, oh, yeah, all of these happened since I was in, like, college.
Oh, yeah.
These all happened in my adult life.
And they're going to keep happening. I should give a little background, some personal background, because it's particular to Alex Jones, and it's particular to kind of right-wing thinking, I guess. I used to be, like, basically a Second Amendment voter, because I was pretty cynical about politics and because I was still, you know, hanging on to whatever libertarian phase was left over from like high school. And I'd like to say this just because it illustrates the kind of thinking that was going on at the time. Sandy Hook, as soon as the news broke, felt like it was going to be a sea change in terms of federal gun policy. By the way, this is right after Obama wins re-election in the 2012 presidential race. So he's a lock for a second term because it happened, I think, like a week before Christmas, December 14th, 2012, if I'm remembering right. And I don't really know how to express this in a way that doesn't sound cruel, but Sandy Hook felt like the kind of thing that was going to create finally, right, like real federal gun control post-Clinton assault weapons ban because it was a bunch of suburban white kids in Connecticut, right? Finally, this conversation was not about, you know, gun violence in inner city Chicago, which most gun violence was. It wasn't, you know, Columbine was long in the rearview mirror, but, you know, somehow high schoolers, it just felt different than, you know, some psychotic freak mowing down a bunch of 6-year-olds. And so there was real, real palpable panic within those circles, right? Not just the gun circles, but the kind of political circles that care about the Second Amendment as like a totem. Right. Maybe people that don't even like personally own guns, but it would be a win for, let's say, the Democratic Party, the left broadly, and a win for, you know, in their view, a kind of authoritarianism that was really, really frightening. Right. So almost immediately, in kind of response to that kind of panic, the conspiracy theories started up. I almost remember where I was when I saw the original video of what I called for the longest time, like the Laughing Man. Right. Soon after, I think in the following days, and by the way, with very good presentation, the HBO documentary goes into this. Within like days of it occurring, there was this press conference, and there was a clip from the press conference that went around, you know, right wing circles and gun circles especially, of this parent Robbie Parker in some, you know, B-roll before he starts talking, kind of laughing. And it was enormously affecting. It was like, what the fuck is going on? Didn't this guy kid just get shot? I remember those early posts about these people potentially being like crisis actors, right? Literally the first time I had ever heard that phrase. And I was not an Alex Jones viewer. In fact, I think through my recollection, I want to say that predates Alex Jones saying that on his show, but that might not be true, right? That like Alex Jones was drawing from right-wing internet forums. But there's a couple clips of him in the documentary where he almost starts this conspiracy theory like hours after the shooting is announced, right? And in any case, I'll say that it was that clip specifically is just kind of weird and eventful and seemingly almost random occurrence, right? That like if you thought about it for more than 2 seconds, or if you saw another clip of him kind of explaining himself, and especially, you know, what is it, 12 years later, right, on an HBO documentary, him explaining himself, seems very silly to get worked up about. And I'm telling you, at the time, it was not like that, right? This clip, the clip of him laughing before he speaks, made it around the internet and a half, right, and launched like a million conspiracy theories about Sandy Hook. And it wasn't just the conspiracy theories, right? Like, it's a panicked moment. So if anybody remembers, the price of ammunition, like, shot through the fucking ceiling, right? Like, you just couldn't get, like, 223, right? Like, AR-15 ammunition. You literally couldn't buy it, right? AR-15s were sold out everywhere. I think this is what leads Dick's Sporting Goods to even stop carrying semi-automatic rifles. The feeling of, like, enormous panic that surrounded Sandy Hook from like the gun side was so incredibly palpable, right? And it should be said as well, the timing being so specific to after Obama wins a second term also doesn't help, right? Because there is no hope if you're like a pro-gun guy, right? If you're a Second Amendment freak like I was, the hammer's coming, right? Like, you're going to get your guns banned for sure, right? And that kind of leads you into a kind of thinking where conspiracy theories thrive, right?
Yeah, it's like a perfect storm of all this time. I can't speak for you, Alec, but maybe you can tell me if I'm hitting a nail on the head here or not. But, you know, for years and years and years, you're told that if the government comes to take your guns, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. And then finally, something occurs in America where things move very, very slowly in America until an event happens. And sometimes even after the event, nothing fucking happens.
Yeah.
You know, see Columbine. But I could only imagine that if you live in a state of paranoia that the government is going to take your guns and implement population control, yeah, this is the event. And so there are people out there who are dedicated to questioning these events and trying to poke holes in these events and do what Alex Jones does and say that this is staged. This is fake. These kids never existed. And this documentary, The Truth Versus Alex Jones, shows how the parents of those children, how their lives were radically changed after the worst fucking day of their lives. And so this documentary shows the consequences for the parents and eventually the consequences for Alex Jones. And what I believe I said earlier is that this is the moment when Alex Jones starts talking about Sandy Hook being fake and he notices there's an uptick in how many views are in our website, which leads to an uptick in people buying all the supplements that I have. He decides to double down and keep talking about it. This is the thing that actually it results in his first wife leaving him. There's another PBS documentary specifically about Alex Jones changing and him losing custody of his kids. And it is when Sandy Hook happens, Alex Jones changes. And I think it's the money and the success because this launches Alex Jones from weird Texas crank to nationwide menace.
This is like the news cycle from hell, or I mean from heaven in Alex Jones' case, right? Like, I think part of it was the fact that his viewership and his kind of side of the public sphere was so primed for something else to blame, right? Because let's be honest, right? The argumentation when one of these shootings fucking happens is pretty weak on the gun side. You have to say a lot of really heinous shit about how basically your rights to have guns are worth more than your fucking dead kids to make your argument. And none of that shit sounds good, and it feels fucking weird to say. Jones probably isn't the only person who would go out and say shit like this, right? That would go with this kind of narrative. I think Fox News touches on it like vaguely, right? But he's certainly the biggest person that is going to talk about it that clearly. And therefore, it's part and parcel with all of the other conspiracy theories surrounding, you know, Obama and the Obama administration. This hits like basically nothing else ever did. I should say, like, about myself, I was not an Alex Jones viewer at the time. It's possible, you know, if you were posting on 4chan, basically, right, that if Alex Jones hadn't existed, I probably would have seen, you know, the Laughing Man GIF or the Laughing Man video or something. But I guarantee you a lot of people, if it hadn't been for Jones, would not have, right? And that goes for everything else that Alex Jones purports that we probably won't end up talking about, right? Like the Great Reset, for instance. It takes real dedication, if it wasn't for a program like Alex Jones, to get exposed to these kinds of ideas, right? For them to get oxygen on the level that Alex Jones gives them oxygen.
I think Alex Jones is a great example of that bridge between 4chan to Facebook. While he wasn't mainstream at that point, he got it onto a mainstream platform, and that's what started generating so many people posting and posting and posting to the point where these parents are harassed, and the documentary goes into it, like the parents end up going on vacation and they're still harassed by people who recognize them from all these conspiracies. Now, we're not talking about this documentary in a propaganda theory way. I don't want to talk about this documentary as propaganda. I want to talk about this documentary so that you know Alex Jones gets his comeuppance.
I mean, we could. Like, it's pretty good propaganda. It makes you think Alex Jones is a piece of shit. It makes a very convincing argument. I mean, to be honest, again, I already thought Alex Jones was kind of a piece of shit before, but it reminds you with what, like, brazen disregard he has for, like, the families, for instance, so that he could sell fucking nutraceuticals or whatever, right? Yeah. Like, what is that clip, Connor, in the documentary where he's on the stand talking about...
Yeah, so they're asking him, I forget the question, but they're essentially asking him...
You, like, sell supplements, yeah.
Yeah, you sell supplements. And, well, he said, like, is InfoWars an infomercial? And he's like, no, we're not an infomercial, but we do sell these things. And then he goes into a fucking commercial pitch.
He can't help himself.
Yeah, it's like, we buy the, what is it, the CO10Q?
I don't even know.
we buy our CO10 direct from Japan. This is top of the line, folks.
I mean, we buy our PQQ... And CoQ10 from the Japanese. I mean, it's the best.
And he's turning to the jury to tell them, like, we buy the best stuff. So when you're done, go to my website, use the code KangarooCourt to get an extra 30% off. Like, that kind of shit. It's crazy. Ridiculous. It's fucking insane. He's a crazy person.
It should be watched, I think, just to get a good timeline of what the fuck it is that we're talking about when it comes to Sandy Hook. And then there's also, I think, importantly in the movie, they interview at least a couple of the Alex Jones-style cranks, right? People that have either been on his show or have gotten in trouble with the law because they were harassing these fucking parents, right? Like, a couple people went to jail over this shit. If you're crazy enough and you harass people IRL, sometimes the cops will come get you and you will fucking go to jail.
There's a great character in this documentary, Wolfgang Helbig, I believe is his name, who's just like one of the people that has got nothing better to do than harass these people, post information. And the documentarians do ask him, like, what if this is all fake? And he just goes, oh, if this is all fake, I guess I'm some kind of monster then.
If I'm that wrong and if I've hurt people, probably I need to go to a mental hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a guy who, by the way, goes to Sandy Hook to go to parent-teacher meetings to scream at other Sandy Hook parents, not even the ones whose kids were killed, right? Just other parents that go to the school, right, that are in the Sandy Hook, like, school district about the truth about Sandy Hook. That is the effect of Alex Jones's coverage of the Sandy Hook conspiracy, right?
This guy, Wolfgang, it's like he believes that the entire town of Sandy Hook didn't exist until this shooting was reported. It's like he thinks these are all stage actors who are all getting paid to create... It's like he's in a theme park.
For people that are familiar with, like, QAnon, like, grandpas and stuff, right? Like, the kind of people that were driven insane by the more esoteric Donald Trump conspiracy stuff on the internet. This feels like a kind of precursor to that. And I think, by the way, when it comes to Alex Jones, I think a lot of it directly is. The thing that I wanted to get to, I mean, about the propaganda of this movie less, but the propaganda of Jones, right, is the thing the movie makes clear, and I think the thing that we all kind of know in the back of our heads, is that Alex Jones as a person has been enormously costly to the psyche of the United States. I mean, I know that QAnon has branched out way further than that. And I know of lots of people who have consumed stuff, you know, adjacent to, you know, the Great Reset Theory, for instance, in his first documentary. It's not just Americans, right? They're in Canada, and there's plenty of Canadian cranks that are getting on that show to watch it. And by the way, he's garnered plenty of views outside of the United States. It's not just isolated here. But ultimately, this is the state under which he lives, and it's the kind of thing that makes me very seriously question freedom of speech as a concept, right? Because these parents ultimately, in two different defamation cases, win an enormous amount of money, basically, you know, the fault of Alex Jones and his lawyers, basically win, you know, summary judgment against him. And then Alex Jones is generally just an asshole in court, so a jury awards him two times just enormous amounts of money for, you know, as compensation.
It's a gorillion jillion dollars.
A gorillion jillion dollars. I mean, $1.5 billion, I think, was basically the estimate of the two defamation cases. That is justice of a sort, right? But other than suing him civilly, right? And by the way, his only means of making money is tied to his continual broadcast. He's still on the air, right? There's no mechanism by which you take this guy who's doing enormous harm to civil society. I mean, the health of Americans' fucking brains, right? Everybody knows, right? We put the fucking drug dealers in prison for enormous lengths of time. I don't know if you could argue that almost any drug dealer that's faced, you know, federal charges at least, has done more damage to, like, America than Alex Jones has. But there's really no structure by which you can charge him unless he does something criminal, and he doesn't. And there's no way you can stop him from broadcasting. That's a question that I ask myself. I mean, you know, listener, maybe you disagree. Maybe this is, you know, me going off and being an authoritarian globalist. But it's really striking. I mean, there's nothing you can do to this guy. And by the way, they want all this money. He's not fucking paying. Right?
No.
Either he can or he won't.
Which we'll get to in a second. But I do want to say, when we were pitching this episode between me and Alec, I was saying, like, look, I'm a free speech apologist. I think that, you know, I think I told you, like, if Elon Musk really cared about free speech, he'd let InfoWars go on Twitter. I'm like, I disagree with everything Alex Jones says, but First Amendment's the First Amendment. It's all okay or nothing's okay, like that kind of thing. After watching this documentary, I have completely changed my mind. And maybe that makes it effective propaganda.
Because I'd say so.
I don't have an answer, but I do agree with you. Like, something, we need to amend the First Amendment, maybe. We need to really clarify, like, look, Alex Jones can say whatever he wants about the rich global elite who are like billionaires with bodyguards that won't allow anyone, not just Alex Jones, but anyone to come anywhere close to these rich elites. But when it becomes private citizens, that's when things change. That's when you can get hit with defamation, which happens. But there need to be more protections, I believe, to make sure that this kind of shit doesn't happen. Like, these parents should not have to endure reliving the worst day of their life over and over and having to prove that the worst day of their life happened.
Yeah, they shouldn't be harassed by people in the street, basically, you know, calling them liars about their dead kid. That's fucking crazy, right?
It's asinine.
I mean, I don't know. What I'm doing is, like, you know, trying to make sense of this in light of the United States and what you can do to stop a guy like Alex Jones. It might be too late for our collective psyches, right? Like, America's crazy and getting fucking crazier every day, right? It shows no sign of stopping. All I'm saying is, in, like, a sane world, there would be something somebody would do about Alex Jones before it got to this level. Right.
Yeah, at this point, if you do anything to silence him, he's won. He said, like, the globalists have silenced me. Like,
I should say, in the end, right, he might not win. I mean, ultimately, I think courts are basically trying to divvy up, freedom freedom system? Free Speech Systems
LLC.
Yeah, so which is yeah.
Do we want to get into that, or do we? There are two things I want to talk about. One is this bankruptcy stuff, and two is the inability of Alex Jones to hire a competent lawyer.
Okay.
So first, we are going to get to the bankruptcy conversation, but we do want to highlight Alex Jones surrounds himself with morons who cannot defend him in a court of law. So let's start with when he lost.
I think he's too cheap is the problem.
They do show one of his lawyers in Connecticut, and he's got like a huge ponytail. I'm like, why would you hire a lawyer with a ponytail? What are you doing?
Probably because he's an Alex Jones listener. I have to imagine. Yeah,
that's you're probably right. So, okay, let's start with when Alex Jones lost custody of his kids. All he had to do, his lawyer told him, like, look, all you have to do is get up on that stand and say you're playing a character. That, like, completely decimates your wife's testimony. Because remember, his wife said that after Sandy Hook, Alex Jones started to change. And, like, if you can disprove her claims by saying that you're just playing a character, you get to keep your kids. He puts Alex Jones on a stand, asks him, are you playing a character, Mr. Jones? To which Alex Jones says, hell no, I'm the real McCoy. Okay, you just lost custody of your kids. Great. Then we have this trial where he basically defaults on forms that he has to fill out, correct?
Well, I mean, he ducks discovery forever, right? Because,
that's right.
I mean, part of having even a civil case brought against you is somebody takes you to court and they say, well, we think you did this bad thing. And the court says, well, how can you prove it? And you say, well, if you make them cough up some documents, we can make our case against them, right? Like, if your documents don't prove that you did the thing, then it's not a problem. But discovery is just a cornerstone of the ability for people to litigate civilly, right? Like, you have to cough up documents whenever a court fucking tells you to. And they make no bones about the fact that he basically told Texas court to fuck off for about 4 years before this finally comes before a judge, right? And eventually, right, it's revealed that he also lied, lied under oath, right, giving his deposition statements.
Lied in his deposition and said that there are no texts on his phone whatsoever about Sandy Hook. If you're listening to this, if you're still listening to this, then you probably already know this. But Alex Jones's lawyer gave the entirety of his phone to the plaintiff's lawyer and reveals that, like, did you know that your lawyer sent me the entire contents of your phone? So I have proof that you lied under oath.
And you perjured yourself in deposition.
You perjured yourself, yeah. To which Alex Jones just said, well, there you have, this is your Perry Mason moment.
Yeah. Well, so I did send it to you. Yeah.
Yeah. He just does it like, well, look at the big boy with the big boy pants.
This is like, and this is, by the way, like late in the, it's like, I don't know, like midway through the trial or something. It's extremely embarrassing. I mean, it's just brutal stuff.
And that's when you realize, like, oh, every lawyer he had is a fucking moron. And then they interview that lawyer at the end when the jury grants Neil Heslin and Scarlett Lewis $50 million. They ask Alex Jones's attorney, and he just says, I think we did a pretty good job. My client's still alive.
My client's still alive. It's like, this is a civil case, dude. Which, oh, I assume he means, right? Like my client is not going to be stopped from broadcasting on on
like
the internet.
$50 million, that's nothing to Alex Jones. Mm-hmm. Well, wait until he gets to Connecticut.
Yeah, it should be said that he ducked. Basically, he pissed the judge off in the first case so much that the judge just ruled. Basically, I think made like a summary judgment against him and just says, look, we're not even going to have a jury trial about whether or not you're guilty. I'm adjudicating that you're fucking guilty. You've lied. You won't show documentation. You've lied on the stand. You haven't shown up to like depositions. Fuck you. You're guilty. All the jury's going to have to do is decide how much you have to pay. And Alex Jones immediately starts spinning this as, I'm not going to see my day in court. And it's like, you are such a fucking snake, dude.
It's so great. In Texas, he's like trying to be as respectful as Alex Jones possibly can. And in Connecticut, he's so like vile and mean. What's really awesome is when he's on the stand in Texas, they do ask him like, are you sorry to the parents? He's like, yes, I'm sorry. He's like, do you have anything you want to say to them? I never meant to hurt you. He never explicitly says on the stand, I'm sorry to you. But there is a hot mic moment where Alex Jones, tail between his legs, walks up to the parents like, hey, I don't want to say this got really out of hand. And like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you should drop charges, basically.
It's like, so funny. It's like, I really fucked up. Can we just like be cool about this, man?
I mean, the thing that, by the way, I mean, the thing that the, for a little bit of context, the thing that the documentary doesn't really show is that what this lawsuit produced was basically the deplatforming of Alex Jones, right? This is the reason, I mean, this or the second defamation case, I can't really remember, is the reason why Infowars.com gets dehosted, him and his channel and like all of his clips get banned from YouTube, which is actually pretty fucking annoying because there's a bunch of very funny clips of Alex Jones being, you know, stupid or silly that you just can't find anymore, right? Because he won't be hosted. He loses a ton of sponsors. It costs him a tremendous amount of money and prestige, right?
It's going to make it really hard to, like, academically talk about him. Like, if you don't have access to his clips, how can you research him? You know, that kind of thing.
Believe it or not, I think the Library of Congress has a bunch of the broadcasts.
On January 6th, some people ran in and put it in the library.
Investigate 7-Eleven.
Investigate the Build-A-Bears and 7-Eleven.
Build-A-Bears.
All right,
I just can't stop doing like impressions of him. It's too funny, man.
Yeah, Trump. I mean, I think both of our partners are sick and tired of our Trump and Alex Jones voices, but
very bad.
And so they found me guilty. The judge did, and now they're having their show trial. And they've made up all this imaginary money I have when I'm in bankruptcy and I'm almost personally out of money. And so it doesn't matter if they do a $500 billion verdict, a $10 trillion verdict, a $50 million verdict. You can't get blood out of a stone. You can't get blood out of these granite steps right here.
So yeah, so if you watch the documentary, you'll know that basically he owes a shitload of money through these two different cases. And these are actually different families.
The first one is Neil Heslin and Scarlett Lewis. And then in Connecticut, it's basically like the rest of the parents.
Right. So they go out of their way to sue him in Texas court. And that takes forever, but eventually they win the first defamation case against him. And then the second one in Connecticut is granted standing and basically the kind of like a class action, basically, that happens in Connecticut wins the second judgment, the enormous like $900 million one or whatever. So between the two, it ends up being like, you know, $1.5 billion. Turns out Alex Jones doesn't have a fucking $1.5 billion, and he's probably never going to have $1.5 billion to be made from InfoWars. There's a bunch of documents that come out basically as part of discovery for the trials by mistake or by revelation and discovery. Some of the internals of InfoWars are revealed, and it's shown that InfoWars itself actually made a lot of money in revenue, right? But discovering that in the personal assets of Alex Jones, or liquid money for that matter, to be seized is a totally different matter. I read some article recently that he probably has about, like $9 million in personal assets, and that Free Speech Systems, which is the LLC that InfoWars runs under, Band.video or whatever he's on now, probably has another six, maybe $1 million in cash on hand. So, like, there's just not that much money to go around. And, you know, as these kinds of things go, you know, basically both of the civil decisions are now tied up fighting each other over a chunk of that money. And a federal bankruptcy court, I think, just threw it basically back, right? The Texas party had asked a federal bankruptcy court to come in and basically dissolve the LLC, and they had refused. So it's still just fucking stuck in limbo forever, right? I mean, it's been 12 years since Sandy Hook, and at least, I think the second court ruling was in 2022.
I think it was last year. I don't know. I remember calling last year, like the day it happened.
And you know, I mean, these families are still stuck waiting on the money, right? And Alex Jones is still out there broadcasting in some form, right? I mean, diminished though he is. I tried to find his website through Google, and you cannot find it.
Yeah, he's just broadcasting on Rumble right now.
So yeah, I mean, he's gone away in part, although, you know, like I said, he's still broadcasting to, you know, some audience. And he's been fairly diminished. I mean, I tuned into the broadcast yesterday, right, because I knew we were recording today. And he's bitching about Biden being old, right? And I tuned in for a little bit, and all of the old fire had gone out of him, right? It might be because Biden's in office, and that's the kind of thing you do when there's a Democrat in office. But I think he's been pretty seriously burned, right? And, you know, good, right? Good. I don't mind that. But in some ways, it's like a real Icarus story, right? Like the Alex Jones of 2007, the guy that's, you know, yelling at a parking lot, that's not him today, right? It's not just that he's a lot older. He had success, and what he chose to do with that success basically cost him everything, right? I mean, this is a guy that still gets to go to, I don't know, the Turning Point USA rally and get like Jack Posobiec to clap him on the back. But he's done, right? It's pretty much over for him. As far as that kind of notoriety and that kind of career, he's done. Although, I think his ideology will live, right? His ideology is more successful than he ever will be.
Yeah, I mean, he got to live out his self-fulfilling prophecy. The court silenced him. The globalists finally came for him. So I do want to talk a little bit, for those who are curious, like how this bankruptcy thing is going to shake out. Look, he was not allowed to say that he was bankrupt in the Texas trial because he had not officially filed for bankruptcy. He officially filed for bankruptcy after it was decided that he had to pay, you know, $1 billion. And this is what Rudy Giuliani did after he was sued by those people in Atlanta. Like, he declared bankruptcy as soon as he was found guilty. Now, after you file for bankruptcy, it doesn't necessarily get you off the hook, but it does protect certain assets. And I'm going off of Texas bankruptcy law, thanks to my stepdad knowing a lot more about it than I do. And he kind of explained everything to me. So the fact that Texas is very property driven, that means that you can't really get my home or my car. Cars, yes, but car, no. So your liquid assets or mortgages can still be up for grabs, but it creates an order of who gets paid, starting with the bank who owns your mortgage. And this is all determined by a trustee that is appointed by the judge, and a trustee has been appointed. The judge can still make you sell your excesses. So like if you have vacation homes, you have to sell that. You can keep your primary residence. If you have like a Lamborghini, you got to sell that and maybe get like a Ford or something, or only keep like your cheapest car. They can't touch your retirement. They can't touch your 401k. So if Alex Jones had been putting money aside for retirement, he's set for life. But he does have to sell his ranch because I think he has a ranch in Terlingua, I think. I don't know exactly where his ranch is in Texas, but he has to sell that. And he's going to have to liquidate InfoWars. But what he's really wanting to do is get someone to buy InfoWars so he can work as an employee. And so basically, Free Speech Systems LLC will sell off InfoWars to some billionaire crank, which Texas has plenty of them, and will just keep Alex Jones hired on in perpetuity, possibly. So look, Alex Jones, I don't want to put the cart before the horse here, but it looks good right now for Alex Jones being diminished. We could have him back. We don't know how. We're waiting to see how this all shakes out. Maybe the judge like fucking liquidates InfoWars and Free Speech Systems LLC before he can find a buyer, and then he's like done. But he's going to be having to pay this money off for the rest of his fucking life.
Well, I mean, critically, right, like he has an audience that of some capacity, right, that I presume will follow him, right? Like if you go by Alex Jones' logic, like you said, right, he's been vindicated from top to bottom just on the fact that he was tried at all, right? And in fact, the comic sums of the civil liability that he's incurred, right, like make it like proof in and of itself. So I have to assume wherever he goes, whatever he does, there's going to be somebody willing to try to listen to the guy, right? He's never going to be YouTube Alex Jones anymore, right? He's never going to be Infowars.com Alex Jones anymore. That's just out of the cards, right? But lots of crazies, lots of Republican crazies, and lots of people looking for Jesus figures to worship.
We shall see.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. I think because of like the time in my life that it occurred, I'm just always going to have a soft spot for old Alex Jones. I'm just always going to like look at those old goofy clips of him either screaming on his show or right harassing some Bilderberger in their limo and like smile. But he's a real fucking piece of shit, man.
I never in my life would have thought that this country would put a penalty of a gorillion dollars on the guy who said the water's making the frogs gay.
Yeah.
Like something like that. You're like, oh, that's somebody's believing it, but that's fucking harmless. And here we go. He's being sued into fucking oblivion. And it's good. It's a good thing.
I mean, I have to underline again, like in a lot of ways, his ideology won and is still winning. The things that he said in Endgame are now in the Texas Republican Party platform, right? Like, they're being said by people in Congress, and people that, by the way, are like, unlike him, are not radioactive enough to not touch, right? People that even the liberal media will stomach somebody like MTG, you know, making fun of her or something. But she's not going to be the last one of those. And at some point, that kind of shit's going to be normalized enough to where it's going to be on, you know, primetime TV. There's going to be somebody basically saying Alex Jones shit on primetime. And if that happens like a good even 20 years after Endgame is released, just goes to show you, right? Like, it might not have been because of him. Like I said, he's a big piece of that puzzle of how it got here.
Well, I don't have anything else to say about Alex Jones other than fuck him.
I'm sick of him putting chemicals in the water. I mean, what are your favorite Alex? Do you have any favorite Alex Jones clips? I know we just got done talking about how he's a fucking asshole.
Yes. My favorite Alex Jones clip, it was just like right when COVID started and he just was like lost his mind and talks like, I'll eat my neighbor, God damn it. And I'm like, oh, okay.
I will eat my neighbors. I'm literally looking at my neighbors now and going, am I ready to hang them up and gut them and skin them and chop them up? You know what? I'm ready. My daughters aren't starving to death. I'll eat my neighbors.
Like this, everyone's kind of losing it right now. And Alex Jones immediately goes to just like level 20. And it's just like, if push comes to shove, I will kill and eat my neighbor.
You know, it's funny. Like I didn't watch any Jones. I don't remember seeing any clips from when like COVID happened. That must have been like the best time of all time for him. Like it was really happening.
Yeah. Actually, my favorite clip of Alex Jones might be, when he's in Armageddon playing a senator.
Oh, hell yes.
Which, for those listening, a little behind the peak curtain, when Alec and I were workshopping the show, we reviewed a film called Armageddon. We probably won't release the pilot, maybe one day, but Alex Jones is in it. He's in it. He's like he has the first line in the whole movie.
Yeah, he's got a bit role.
Yeah. And he's in a bunch of Richard Linklater movies. So Maybe he'll return in Linklater's newest film. Who knows?
Maybe he just go back to a writing gig in Hollywood, or just like right wing crank movies.
Yeah, maybe we'll see him make a movie. I don't know. I don't think he's going away. I really, really don't.
Yeah, he's gonna have to be like at least in the background of some of these like crank, you know.
Roger crank Stone came back.
Things. Yeah, definitely.
So, we'll see. Okay, everybody, that wraps it up for this week's Propaganda. Thanks a lot for listening, and keep an eye on the globalists, folks.
They're making hurricanes that destroy our podcasts, silence our freedom of speech.
I like to fight, too. I like to eat. I like to have children. I'm here. I got a life force. This is a human. This is what we look like. This is what we act like. This is what everybody was like before us. This is what I am. I've got the fire of human liberty. I'm setting fires everywhere, and humans are turning on everywhere.